I believe that in spite of the times that we feel like we don't have enough, that God has given us exactly what we need, more than enough, to be able to love each other well and to love this community. So I just want to commend you this morning and say thank you. It's great to be part of you and to be part of this family. God is faithful, and God is going to give us what we need to stand firm until He comes back. He's going to give us the grace and strength to keep moving. God has equipped us with every spiritual gift, with strength, with purpose. And God's not backing down. God is continuing to drive His kingdom and move through us and to this community. And I believe God is going to continue to do that. He's with us every step of the way. He is close to us. He walks with us. So we need to keep pressing forward together. We need to be united with that. We need to keep pushing forward with gratitude and with confidence and with our eyes fixed on Jesus. You may wonder, though, like I do sometimes, why us? Why is God so good to us? And why does God want to use us? And how is God going to use us? I don't know if you feel that way. We're easily distracted, right, from Him and His work. We sin sometimes in ways that are even surprising to ourselves. We look at ourselves and we go, I can't believe I just did that. And we are victims. We are victims ourselves, often of sin that's committed against us. And we feel it. We struggle with things that we often do not understand, right? We battle probably more than we should over frustration with our own lack of capacity. We look at ourselves and we think, man, I'm not skilled enough. I don't have enough talent. We wish we were better than we are, more talented. And for some of these reasons, and maybe all of them, we feel like that maybe God doesn't love us. And then we disqualify ourselves from serving Him. We feel disqualified. We feel like I can't continue to enjoy God, and I can't continue to serve Him and work for Him. Why are we so broken? And why do we live our lives basically just for personal survival instead of actually thriving in Him? When clearly the eternal God loves us, when clearly God has given His life for us, when clearly God has given us everything we need, when it is God who qualifies us, even when we are disqualifying ourselves, is based on His sacrifice. So why are we like this? We lose sight of God often because life happens. This life is not easy, and most of us can share testimonies quickly about the difficulty of this world. But hopefully in these moments, when you're struggling, you're going through crisis, hopefully in these moments, maybe we can see the cross better. Maybe we can see what Christ has done for us more clearly. The deep way in which Jesus loves and has loved us, maybe we'll be able to see that we can do everything with Him and that we can do nothing without Him. The missionary Paul that we read about in Scripture spoke often of his weaknesses. He was always telling people disclaimers about himself. And the fact that he was used by God to spread God's kingdom across this an enormous section of geography is amazing because of how aware Paul was of his weaknesses. And maybe it was his practice to remind himself and others of just to keep his pride intact. I'm not sure. But he was always telling people that he wasn't great. Or maybe it was just really important for people to know that Jesus was the only one who deserves credit for anything good. 1 Corinthians 1:17 is one of these moments of Paul where he describes why he's a bad speaker. This is really what he's saying here. 1 Corinthians 1:17. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, and not with words of eloquent wisdom lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. He's saying, listen, Jesus says, on purpose, has kept me from being clever and eloquent when I speak, so that the cross of Christ would be seen. The message of Christ would not be lost. This is sort of my impression of Paul when he's preaching. If he came today and was preaching to us today, this is a picture I think maybe. See him sweating bullets here. This guy sharing the gospel, but doing so badly. We don't really think this of Paul, but Paul says this about himself. He's not a good speaker. His content was good. We even have a record in Scripture of him preaching so long that a guy fell asleep and fell out of a window and he died because it was just so bad. Yeah, it's in the Bible. Yeah. Paul was a good man. He ran down quickly and prayed, and God came back to life. And then he invited him back into the service. Poor guy. I mean, it's just like, you know. Yeah. It's in the Bible. But Jesus made sure that whenever Paul taught, he didn't sound so eloquent or clever that his listeners might be distracted by his genius and miss the message. On a side note, I wish I was smart enough that God would need to dumb me down so that I would not be a distraction away from him. We understand this, right? We understand. We listen to speakers, and we follow worship leaders often because of how they speak or sing, not because of the content of their message. We know this. The highly skilled, provocatively dressed, gorgeous worship leader, orator, or rapper can keep us enthralled and reaching into our pockets to pay for more. We are mesmerized by the communicator much more than the content. Jesus made Paul a bad speaker so that the message of the cross would still have impact. Paul is not making an excuse here either of how bad he's speaking. He's not saying, oh, I'm just a bad speaker because God made me bad. No. We do that when we try to explain away why we have not done a good job, right? We do that. We're like that. I had a problem come up that kept me from preparing enough. Okay. I heard this one the other day from a guy who was complaining about not writing his presentation well, and he said, well, my son has dyslexia. Yeah, for an excuse for his own bad writing. Or maybe you've done this when my dog ate my homework. Have y'all? Yeah. Can't do that anymore because we're using iPads and stuff. So we don't have to sound good as a worship team, right? Because after all, God only wants us to make a joyful noise. I don't have a plan. I'm Spirit-led. Have you heard that one? What did the Spirit tell you to do? I don't know. God very intentionally uses our weaknesses and chokes our giftedness so that the cross of Christ can be seen. The first time I shared the gospel with someone, I was 16 years old. I will never forget that day. I was living in Accra, Ghana at the time, and there was freedom. We could walk the streets. There was just real, you know, a lot of peace. And so you were always having people pass by your house. And I said, you know, my first victim is going to be, I'm going to catch someone walking by my house. And so I caught somebody. I was so nervous, but God told me to go share the gospel. So I went, but I was scared to death. And so I presented the gospel to this unfortunate lady, this poor lady. And my presentation went really, really bad. I kept repeating myself, could not, you know, keep a train of thought. I was just so nervous. I forgot parts of my presentation, et cetera, et cetera. And it was awkward. Because of how awkward I was, she also became awkward. But she saw Jesus through all of my awkwardness, and she gave her life to Christ that afternoon. However, when I got to the point of asking if she wanted to follow Jesus, at this point of, you know, commitment, I was surprised when she said yes. And so when she said yes, I said, really? I repeated the gospel presentation to her again and asked her again, and she said, yes, really. No, I heard, understood you the first time, and yes, I do want to follow Christ. And I said, wow. you really understand what I'm saying? How amazing is that? You really want to make this decision? Yes, she kept saying yes. Sometimes it takes an awkward teenager to keep the cross from losing its power. We have been given enough, just enough, so that the message of the cross is not diminished in us. Yeah. This morning, I would ask you not to disqualify yourself, to consider how important it is that the message of Christ crucified really is presented well through you. And so what person is best suited to present the gospel? Who is that person? It's the person who does not get in the way of the cross. So we are fools sometimes so that the Christ can be seen. Paul points this out. He says, for the foolishness of God is wiser than men. And very often God uses our foolishness, our stumbling words, our inadequate speech. I mean, I think about it, even right now, standing in front of you, why would you listen to an old white guy? You know, but hopefully you can see past this and see Christ. Paul is also not saying here that God's message and who God is diminished in any way, that somehow he's dull. He is not great. God is not diminished at all. He is excellent in every way, but God has placed himself in us. A diamond, if you will, God has placed himself, treasure in us, the creator of the universe in us. And he is expecting us to be his ambassador. It's incredible. He has allowed us to be the visual of Christ. We are the visual, the PowerPoint, if you will, of who he is. And we do have the capacity to misrepresent him. I sometimes wonder, why us? Why have you placed yourself in us? Why have you used us to be the vessel, the passageway of your message? It's incredible. We misrepresent him often. It's not because God is not amazing and wonderful, it's that we misrepresent him. We're the problem. And how many great ideas that we're aware of just in life were delayed or never given birth because of the poor way in which it was introduced? There's so many great ideas that never launched because of the one presenting the idea. I'm using an Apple product here, it's an iPad. But Steve Jobs, who was the originator of this idea, he was a notoriously abrasive and sometimes arrogant person. And so the Apple computer, the Apple idea, almost did not launch because of his attitude, his behavior. He saw the error of his ways and came back. We see he definitely saw the error of his ways and was able to launch it successfully. You know, we call it Apple and good grief. Who doesn't know about Apple? But he had to work on himself, and he had to remove Steve so that the product could go forward. We see this with the DNA's double helix. You know, when you talk about DNA, everyone in the world can see this picture of the double helix DNA. But the original discovery of this was by a lady named Franklin, but she didn't get along with people and had difficulty making presentations. And so although it's credited to her, the one who really launched it to the world was Watson and Crick, who presented the idea in more persuasively. And so they're given credit for this double helix. Incredible discovery. Life transforming for people, but it almost tanked because of the presenter. Christ has come and indwells us and ask us to be the representation of him, and sometimes we must represent him. We get in the way, and sometimes then God will remove us very intentionally so that the cross of Christ can be seen. So the presentation of Christ can be dented by us, but can also be amplified by us. We can really, truly, clearly, and beautifully share the message of the cross. God wants us to do that. God does that. But the cross message itself, all by itself, is foolishness to people. Without us, just the message of Christ crucified is foolishness to a lot of people. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says this, "The message of the cross is foolish to those who are headed for destruction, but we who are being saved know it is the very power of God." So we are fools often, not in a good way, and the message that we're preaching very often sounds foolish to a lost world. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 21, "Since God in His wisdom saw to it that the world would never know Him through human wisdom, He has used our foolish preaching to save those who believe." Isn't that awesome? It is foolish to the Jews who ask for signs from heaven, and it is foolish to the Greeks who seek human wisdom. So when we preach that Christ was crucified, the Jews are offended and the Gentiles say it's all nonsense. And we live in this kind of world too, where Christ crucified is foolishness to a lot of people, to a lot of cultures. To many here in this nation, Christ crucified is Oshiveva. To many, Christ crucified is just physical healing. Not internal soul transformation, but just physical healing. Christ crucified is just, let's get rich quick. The cross has been diminished in that way. The power of the cross has been shot because it's been limited. For so many in my cultural heritage, Christ crucified is only the man upstairs. Someone that maybe we'll see someday when we die, but not a pervasive, transforming Jesus who moves in us now. Christ crucified, for many, is just a religion. Christ crucified, for many, is just that it's the weak man's crutch. And just one of many, many pathways. The power of the cross is diminished in so many different ways. And Jesus will remove in us anything that takes away from the message of the cross. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 26, Paul asked them to consider where they came from. And we should do that as well. This is what he says, "For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to the worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to do what? To shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God." When I look at my heritage, it's a great heritage, but man, we were not important. God uses me? Amazing. Absolutely amazing. God wants us to look at where we came from and what He's done in our lives. And for I think probably most of us in this room, we can look at our lives and we can see God clearly in His transforming power because we know we could do nothing. It is obvious that Jesus truly is the secret to our anything, anything good. It's because of Jesus. And God chooses the people who are not from important families. He chooses people from important families as well, but for the most part, the vast majority of us don't come from anything important, but God uses us. He says very specifically, or He says He chooses the lowborn, the people who were not born into important families. He chooses the people who were despised, hated, chooses those people. And He chooses people who are nothing and makes something out of it. Chooses the low, the despised, and the nothing. Incredible. Maybe you fit in one of those categories. Low, despised, nothing. You see all through then, you see the testimony of Jesus moving through these kinds of people. I look at Acts 13, it's one of my favorite passages in the world, of this gathering. The description of who God puts together, Acts 13, verses 1 through 4. This is Paul, the terrorist, right, who's killing people. is then called by God to be his servant. And then he's sent to a non-Jewish place in Antioch with Barnabas, and it shows this gathering. Among the prophets and teachers of the church of Antioch of Syria were Barnabas, Simeon called the black man. This is in the Bible. I didn't add that in there. Lysias from Cyrene. This is would be modern-day Libya. Manian, the childhood companion of King Herod, Antipas, and Saul. One day, as these men were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Appoint Barnabas and Saul for the special work to which I have called them." So after more fasting and prayer, the men laid their hands on them and sent them on their way. I wonder that when they decided to pray more and fast more, it was like, really, you're calling us? And they said, we need to pray about this a little bit more. We need to fast some more to really be sure. So Barnabas and Saul were sent out by the Holy Spirit. They went down to the seaport of Seleucia and then sailed to the island of Cyprus. And the first missionary journey started. But this gathering of interesting people, all different colors of people from all different walks of life, God brings them together. They pray, they fast, and then God sends them out. This New Song Family Church, my friends. God chooses low. How low will God go? Well, he's went as low to me. That's how low God will go. God chooses the people who are despised. And we see this evidence. 1 Corinthians 6. Don't you realize that those who do wrong will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't fool yourself. Those who indulge in sexual sin or who worship idols or commit adultery or are male prostitutes or practice homosexuality or are thieves or greedy people or drunkards or are abusive or cheat people, none of these will inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 11, shout this with me. Some of you were once like that, but you were cleansed. You were cleansed. You were made right. You were made holy. You were made right with God by calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. God uses the despised. God uses the low. And God chooses to create out of nothing. There's a Latin phrase called creatio ex nihilo. He creates out of nothing. To make what is nothing. God uses the fools to shame the wise. This is incredible to me. God of creation, who sees the void, nothingness, and creates something out of it. God can take whatever nothingness that we are and make something out of it. And it's from this nothingness that the cross of Christ can shine bright. Christ crucified can shine bright because of our nothingness. That's what Jesus does. Oh, sure. Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. This shows the origin of all creation is Christ. From nothing, he made something. This is our God we're talking about here. Hebrews 11, verse 3. By faith, we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command, that what we now see did not come from anything that we can see. God created something we can see from something that we can't. Romans 4:17, the God who brings the dead back to life and who creates new things out of nothing. You feel like you're nothing today? Don't diminish the power of the cross. Jesus Christ will move in you. Jesus Christ will do incredible things. So why does he do this? So that the cross of Christ, God's glory, is exalted, not diminished, so that no one can boast in God's presence, because when we're boasting in God's presence, we don't depend on him. We don't follow him. God is glorified to bring us into Christ. He becomes our wisdom. He becomes our righteousness. He becomes our sanctification. He becomes our redemption. And if we are so full of ourselves, we miss him. He must be exalted so that we can win, so that we can be saved. And many other reasons why he should be exalted. But when we don't see the cross, we lose out. When we don't present the cross, everyone else loses out. If God does not clean us, we are lost for eternity. It's Peter who's being approached by Jesus to clean his feet before Jesus Christ was crucified. And Peter said, "No, God, you will not clean me." And Jesus said, "If I don't clean you, you will have no part of me." And Peter, of course, says, "Well, then give me a whole bath." Peter said, "No, just your feet today, just your feet today." 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30. And say this with me, because of him, and because of him. Let's pause there for a moment. And because of him, not because of us, not because of anything else, but because of him. You are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. If we don't see the cross, we lose out. We need to boast in the Lord, because without Christ, we can do nothing. With Christ, we can do everything. If God does not clean us, we are lost for eternity. Oh, may the cross shine bright through us. Christ crucified. May he shine bright through us. And may we accept the limitations that God has given us that choke our giftedness and our talents just enough so that the cross of Christ is presented. May we say thank you for how you've made me, because you've been designed perfectly so that the cross of Christ can shine. Can shine. Some tips for us as we think about this. First thing, we need to be faithful. We need to be faithful to what God has given us. What are your talents? What are your gifts? What are your opportunities? Be faithful to what God has done in you. Serve God with excellence and to the best of what he has given you. Don't be intentionally lazy, late, and sporadic, so that the cross will be seen more clearly. Listen, I was late today just because I really wanted the cross of Christ to really, really be seen. I wanted it to be so clear that this did not happen because God is the power. God came here before me. God goes before me. So he was on time. Tips. Let God be the one who determines where your limits are instead of you shooting yourself in the foot. Our lack of integrity and lack of faithfulness misrepresents the cross. And so we need to be faithful to what God has given us. And then we need to present Christ in such a way that he is the focus instead of us being the focus. When we're presenting Christ, are we trying to brand ourselves? Or are we trying to brand Christ? And we need to really assess that in how we share our testimony, how we share the gospel, what we do, how we dress. The illustrations that we give to people about Christ's transforming power, are they so big and so loud that they don't get the point? All right. Sometimes our illustrations can overwhelm the message, and that can be the focus. I know you listened to Deviate this morning, but I just want to point out something he did that was really cool. His whole presentation was amazing. But I don't know if you noticed this, but he didn't park and spend a bunch of time on his pain. And the reasons for his pain. He just introduced you to said, this is what happened. And then we were left, after he finished speaking, we were left overwhelmed by the goodness of God, right? Not his bad divorce. We were struck by what God is doing in his life. And so God was exalted. We saw the crucified cross. We saw the Jesus crucified. We saw Jesus' redemption and his grace in that testimony. But sometimes we advertise and emphasize and objectify our past instead of amplifying the beauty of Christ in our presentations. When you're telling people about, I just want to tell you about God's faithfulness, and then you spend the bulk of your time telling about how horrible your life is when you're sharing the gospel with somebody instead of talking about him. Whenever we share our testimony, whenever we present ourselves, we always want to have a blend of our story, right? So that our story can move into his story. That's our goal. We want to move from our story to his story. And if we spend too much time on our story, then his story gets diminished. And so when we're putting stuff together, presentations or whatever, or just simple sharing Christ with someone at a grocery store, wherever it is, somebody you don't know, you need to really spend the bulk of your presentation on him instead of yourself. So just a little tip there. How am I dressing? how am I presenting myself? But we need to make sure that we are not a distraction. And sometimes maybe the clothes we wear, we didn't think through that, and maybe they're a distraction. And that can go both ways. We can dress horribly or dress too well. And so we distract people from the message. Jesus doesn't need Ralph Lauren or Jordans to make a case for him. Now, if you're wearing a polo shirt this morning, fantastic. Or if you're wearing Jordans, great. DVA's wearing Jordans, by the way. But you weren't distracted by him, were you, this morning? No. But if our plan when we're getting dressed is, you know what, I'm going to really dazzle them with this horse on my shirt or with my shoes or whatever it is that we think. No, it's going to be Christ. Christ needs to be clearly seen. We need to think through that. We need to assess that. The other side of it is this. We can dress so poorly on purpose. We don't clean our clothes. We don't clean ourselves. And that we are offensive. Full stop. Not offensive for Christ. We're just offensive. And people don't want to even get close to you because you're so offensive. And so your opportunity to share the Christ is lost because you just smell bad. And you're so dirty. And you had a choice. And I think God wants us to think through that. And so that we have opportunity to really present the gospel. Listen, I try so hard to make sure my breath is good, and I'm not always successful because I know just my breath will push people away. You know, good grief. We have to work on these things. Hygiene. And so, yes, present Christ in such a way that he's the focus, not you. And we need to work on that. I think God's asking us to really think through that. So be faithful. Develop your gifts. Work on those. Present Christ in such a way that he's the focus, not you. And then I want to leave you with this. Stop living in the cesspool of regret. Stop living in the cesspool of your pervasive sin. Stop sinning. Stop disqualifying yourself. And we often live in this continual regret of our past instead of shining Christ's transformation in our lives. Don't disqualify yourself. If you have a past, every one of us does, take that past to God. That's the whole beauty of the cross, right? Is that Jesus Christ knows our past. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And we need to live as though Christ has died for us and we've been changed instead of living continually in regret. We live in the cesspool of our disappointing lives, and therefore we disqualify ourselves. We decide we are not healthy enough to share the gospel because of our past. I don't know. Christ transforms us. Christ takes us in even with our past. Don't disqualify yourself. Don't shoot yourself in the foot. Accept the forgiveness of God based on his faithfulness. Walk in the Spirit. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind and live that out. And use your past to introduce God's story of hope to others who are lost. Use your story. DVA modeled that for us this morning. That took a lot of guts to stand up here. Let me tell you right now, that's a hard thing to do. What person is best suited to present the gospel? You. What person is best suited to present the gospel? The foolish. The sinner. God uses the foolish to shame the wise, lest the cross would lose its power. May God shine in you and me. Not forgetting our past, not forgetting especially what God has done in us, so that we can say, yeah, I'm a sinner just like you, but Jesus has changed me. Jesus has changed me. And I will shine this morning because of Christ. I will speak boldly today because of Christ. I will speak of the cross of Christ and Christ's transforming power in my life. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you that we get to be fools for you. Lord Jesus, we do ask this morning that you would continue to do what you promised to do, that is to make sure that in us, Lord, your death and resurrection, the good news, Father, just beams through us in everything we do. So I thank you for that this morning. Thank you for saving us from our past. Thank you for redeeming us. Thank you for transforming us. And Lord Jesus, we give you praise. We love you, God, so much. Thank you for loving us. And Lord, thank you for using this church. Thank you for using us, Father, for your glory. In your name I pray.